Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Wow, April 11th, 2009. We are continuing on with the UFO panel. We've had such great feedback on this from so many people out there that we will do the whole thing. We will actually repeat a little of it for those of you that didn't hear it last week. So it's a pretty darn good one, and a lot of really well-known people, including a Princeton physicist on this one. So we will immediately get this puppy going.
I got into this because my father was a NASA public relations director.
This is
Sean Morton. Two godfathers
walked
on the moon, Dave Scott and Jack Schmidt. So I grew up with a lot of this. Anybody that's had real heavy involvement with the government or family in the government will let you know that that obviously they're not telling the people everything of what's going on for fear of actually panicking the populace. And so the media has been used as a propaganda machine to spend the last 40 or 50 years of this generation to basically begin to educate you as far as what this phenomenon is doing. And they are desperately afraid of putting the proper spin on this when it eventually comes out. And I think one of the things that you're seeing, and one of the best points that Dr. Borland made, was the fact that they now can't control the fact that hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of people are seeing this phenomenon worldwide. The fact that I also believe that by the end of this year, you will see UFOs flying over major cities in North America that will be televised live on network television, exactly like what has been happening down in Mexico City. What happens when that actually occurs and they have to put the proper spin on what exactly these extraterrestrials are saying? And we've also gotten to a point where we've gone beyond the fact that it's up to us as researchers to convince the people. I mean, when we asked everybody out here how many people have seen UFOs, and if I could see your hands again, how many people here have seen UFOs? That's a phenomenal number. I mean, you know, that's close to 50 to maybe 60% of this audience that have actually now seen the phenomenon for yourself. And when you see this phenomenon for yourself, it blows a valve. I mean, it pops open a gasket in your head where suddenly you begin to think in terms of technology that is not possible on this planet, and then the whys of where this technology comes from, and in fact, why these people are here. UFO. So you gotta have sharp eyes. So it's sort of like, it's gone beyond the fact of us being up here as researchers to convince you that the phenomenon exists, and that's a huge step for us. Now, what people are asking is, what are they saying? This is sort of like a guy driving into a town of Aborigines in Australia in a 1958 Corvette. And the natives come out and they say, "Wow, nice car." And the guy gets out and says, "You know, there's this giant hurricane that's coming towards the town, and on the other side of that, there's an army that's going to basically level everything that's left." And they look at it and go, "Wow, nice car." You get what I'm saying? I'm saying the fact that now what's happening in a huge number of these abduction cases, and I'm not talking about the negative cases, that they seem to have their own agenda, but we are being visited quite literally by probably over 100 different races and species right now on this planet who have been visiting us for probably many thousands of years, many of whom feel that we are coming up to the technological aspect of contact with small groups of people, which they've always done first, before any sort of world contact exists. At the same time, there are great warnings that they are giving us about what is going to occur in the next 5 to 10 years. And just to precurse this, my lecture's at 7 o'clock tonight, actually in the Shaw Room. It's right next door. I'm not actually speaking on this subject. I'll be talking about prophecies and predictions and what I see happening for the coming millennium and, of course, you know, what I've written every month in my newsletter, the Delphi Associates. So just to get it back over to the panel, my only other comment on this is that the fact that I think we're ready to evolve as a race. I think we're ready to evolve as a species. I think it's been a very, very long, hard road. And if we can get through the next 20 years, I think that we are going to see a millennium of peace and prosperity, the likes of which we have never seen in the last probably 40,000-year cycle. And one can only hope that these silent visitors, that these friends from the stars are here to help us. But I stress helping us, because one thing I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this is our planet. This is our civilization. This is our destiny. Nobody is going to step in and save us. Nobody is going to step in and be our Messiah or evacuate the planet. This is our problem. And as such, they may assist us in where it is we're going, but ultimately, it is our decision as to what our destination is going to be. Thank you very much.
told you he'd be fun. What are you fun? A couple of things I want to say, actually, about your comments. How many of you are aware that the equinox is coming up on Tuesday, the 21st? And it's not just any equinox. For those of you who've sort of been following world prophecy, this is the end of a 540-year cycle. The Mayans were perhaps one of the most powerful timekeepers of any people that have ever been on this planet, and they really looked at time as cyclical, cycles within cycles. So about 540 years ago, their elders got together and said to the Mayan people, yo, you know, the shit's about to hit the fan. The conquistadors are coming. And, you know, lo and behold, of course they did, and millions of Mayans were wiped out and so forth. So Tuesday marks the end of that dark period of 540 years and begins a new major world cycle within the Mayan calendar of an age of consciousness and enlightenment. And there are a lot of very important people that are, like yourselves, you know, paying attention to consciousness on the planet that are going to be meeting down there on Tuesday. The Dalai Lama will be there, and Hutzpah Min, and many other light workers like yourself. So I might really suggest to you that you consider connecting up between 6 in the morning and 12 in the afternoon. There'll be major initiation ceremonies there for the whole planet. So just, you know, tune in. It's in Chichen Itza, and they'll be doing another one in Palenque, and that's in Mexico. And Palenque is an old extraterrestrial center. I talk a lot about those kinds of things because I deal with the ancient history, and I think Bob gets into some of the ancient history too. But it's a real important time on the planet this particular Tuesday. So really, you know, tune in and use your consciousness to join for that shift. I can't think of a better introduction, having said join for that shift, than for Dr. Brian O'Leary, who's working for that shift worldwide.
Thank you, Tricia, and good afternoon, everybody. Wow, this is staggering, isn't it? Bertrand Russell one time said that the resistance to a new idea is proportional to the square of its importance. And this is the biggie. It's happening. You know, in 1979, I was a traditional physicist at Princeton University. I had a remote viewing experience. I was able to tune in on a human being and accurately describe him, total stranger. And I began to realize that this physics that I was teaching as almost as dogma was no longer appropriate for the experience I had. Now, it took me a while for it to sink in. This was back in 1979. And since then, I've been gradually learning, educating myself, self-educating, about the UFO phenomenon. That's why I'm here. I did a lot of learning about that about 10 years ago. I even went to Whitley Strieber's upstate New York cabin and had a very weird experience, which kind of grounded the... for me, anyway, personally, in addition to, of course, the mountains of scientific evidence and the incredible denial that's been going on in this area. And then about 3 years ago, I decided to look at another area called free energy. This is the energy that Tesla brought us early this century, and then it was suppressed. And this has been going on now for a century almost. And again, just analogous to my education in the UFO phenomenon, I found that free energy was very real. And that it has been suppressed. The good news is I've just come back from a world tour. I've been to Japan, India, all over Europe, all over the North American continent. I have met free energy inventors. They're coming open now with their devices. These are devices that create more electricity than goes into them by traditional definitions. And then I embarked over the last few months to write a book called Miracle in the Void. And what I found as I was getting into writing the book was that I was going through some profound personal emotions that were so powerful that I was getting out of balance. And the reason why I was getting out of balance was because I began to first mentally and then emotionally experience the implications of the paradigm shift that's coming very soon. And by soon, I don't mean even the year 2000. I tend to agree with my colleagues that it's going to happen sooner. The free energy business is extremely important because we no longer have to rely on oil. We no longer have to use internal combustion engines. We don't have to have this greenhouse effect. We can, for tens of millions of dollars in R&D investment, we can create energy sources that are clean and that will permit the Earth to enter into a whole new era. And this information, by the way, I'll be sharing with you tonight in a workshop at 6 o'clock. What I want to say is that my own personal emotions are so powerful that when I first started writing the book, it was going to be a traditional journalistic scientific piece on free energy, you know, spell out the theoretical aspects. And I'll talk a little bit about that tonight, because people like Hal Puthoff and other mainstream theoretical physicists are now publishing papers in such peer-reviewed august journals as Physical Review A in the Sciences, and in which they basically say that the universe is not what we thought it was, and that the void, this thing we call the void, is something. It's not nothing. And that we've been deluding ourselves. It's almost like we're in the time of Copernicus, and the Catholic Church is like mainstream physics that's still coming up with zoos of particles and all of the contradictions that come up through quantum theory and classical physics. Well, this can all now be reconfigured by taking a known fact in quantum theory, namely that there exists so much energy in the universe in every cubic centimeter, enough to evaporate all the oceans in the Earth. It's just that we haven't been able to see it and feel it and detect it using the kind of sensory instrumentation that we've had. And so it's very clear to me now, theoretically and experimentally, that this is a very real concept. It just means that the paradigm shift is enormous, because we're talking about supplanting a $2 trillion per year economy on the Earth. And so when these things started to sink into me, I started to get very angry. And then I started to look at the seminal research of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on the grieving process. And I began to realize that one of the reasons why we're so stuck, take that and the Bertrand Russell concept, I mean, square $2 trillion, and you're beginning to understand what's going on. We're living in a dark age. And we're also living in an age of incredible pollution. And we've got to reverse it. We've got to do it soon, and we have to acknowledge it and get out of our drug denial. And so, you see, I got into anger. One of my favorite bumper stickers is that the truth will set you free, but at first it will piss you off. And what's happening is, and Kubler-Ross's work, I think, is very important, because these are understandable emotions. What she was able to identify in terminal patients at hospitals and people that were losing loved ones was that people were going through, and it was a normal thing to do this, to go through a sequence of emotions. Sometimes they overlap. You go back and forth between them. But you're basically, in order to come into acceptance of the new, you have to be able to grieve the old. And you can't just mentally make the leap from denial to acceptance. There are these other intermediate steps, such as anger. There's bargaining. You know, you try to fit the new into the old. And the U.S. government, I know when they reveal the information, they're going to be very linear about it, because that's the way they are. And I would almost say, don't believe a word of it. Well, you can believe some of it. But the new paradigm will not in any way resemble the old paradigm. And we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it will not resemble the old paradigm. So we're going to go through bargaining phases. Look out for that. And then depression. A lot of people are just going to, and boy, was I depressed over this last year, trying to get my new book done, just pondering the implications of what's going on and the fact that we've been so stupid about all of this for so many generations. And so, but the final step after depression is acceptance. And that's what we all really want to get into. And once we accept things, then we can become enlightened, we can become creative, we can become empowered, and we can transcend this world. The worldview that will be accepted 10 years from now will have no resemblance to the worldview we accept now. And so I want to thank you very much, and I hope you come to my workshop tonight.
Thank you, Brian. That's well said. We are truly moving into the age of Aquarius, and that started really in the late 1950s, and that's how come that song, you know, in the 60s is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. We are about 60 years into the 80-year shift into that cycle. So truly, we are moving from a dualistic paradigm, which are the two fishes, Pisces, into a wholeness in medicine, in relationships and consciousness, and in galactic and world unity. So, Bud Hopkins. Yeah.
I just went up to the top of what I guess could be called the world's tallest gift shop here. And they didn't have that bumper sticker that I would love to get. And I think, you know, we could make a lot of money printing that damn thing and selling it all over the world. It's very great. talking about what we're facing. What's going to be happening? Obviously, what we are facing is, I agree with what everyone has been saying, is, of course, a sea change in the way we think about ourselves and about our culture, about what is out there, about otherness. And it's going to come as a huge, enormous shock to all of us. And there's a story that interested me a lot because there was a woman who was a UFO researcher, and for years she'd been laughed at by her neighbors, and they were saying things like, well, that silly stuff, and Carl Sagan's right, and et cetera. And incidentally, somebody said that a recent bestseller, they were inventing bestsellers, and the title of one was Billions and Billions and Billions, and it was by Carl Sagan, in which he explains why he's not trying to be funny when he says that. It's just funny to me. But at any rate, this particular woman that I'm mentioning, who was a UFO researcher, had spent all this time trying to defend her point of view and so forth. Her son played a terrible trick on her. This was a couple of years ago. He was a teenager. Teenagers do things like this. And if you could ground him for the next 35 years, I would have done it after what he did to her. She was in the kitchen or something, and he was watching television, and he rushed in, and he said with great seriousness, Mother, Mother, they just interrupted all television channels. UFOs are landing in all of the world's capitals. The UN is calling an emergency meeting. The president's going to have an address, blah, blah, blah. And this woman said chills went up and down her spine. She didn't think, aha, you see, I'm right. The neighbors will have to swallow their sour grapes here. I was right after all, or, you know, when Sagan was wrong or whatever. It was, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Now, none of us know. As I've said over and over again, the two major sources never to believe automatically about the future in this particular area, one is the United States government and the other are the aliens, because they both lie. They have lied over and over again. You cannot trust them. There's only one person you can trust, and that's you. To sort things out as to what's going to happen, we none of us know. Obviously, in a world, if we were living on this planet with the UFO occupants, and obviously as we know about it, the phenomenon that mental telepathy is basic to it, we would have to be living now in a world where our own privacy has disappeared, the privacy of our own thoughts. Something to worry about and think about. Now, in terms of the paradigm shift, as it's come to be called, when UFOs were first seen in great numbers, and we have to know that this has been going on a long, long time, it's only recently come to our awareness. I have three abduction cases from the 1920s, many from the 30s. But at any rate, when this whole thing came into the fore, really after World War II, there were two basic attitudes. The one was very, very intrinsic to human nature, the paranoid reaction, oh my God, they've come to invade, they're going to take us over. There were many, many movies where the aliens came down and always in monstrous forms took over our supermarkets and our automobile dealerships and et cetera, et cetera. Now, the model we were using there was, of course, the Russians, the whole evil empire, as a recent president once said. Yeah. We used to think that was the bad example. The aliens are going to take over. There has never been, in my many, many years of working with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of abductees and others, I have never run into any evidence that they're here to hurt us, that there's any deliberate malevolence behind us. It has never happened. They just do their thing.
Now, the other paradigm, which is a very old one, it's not really a paradigm shift, is, of course, that they're coming here to save us, that they are somehow our rescuers, our saviors. And as Sean said, you know, we have to look to ourselves, not to some Messiah from the outside here. There has never been any evidence that I have ever seen that persuaded me that they were here to help us. It is extremely difficult to understand that they might not be here to invade. They might not be here deliberately to help, that they may have their problems. That's a tough one to get through. That's a real new paradigm shift. When you're dealing with something and you don't know, you give up the idea that we're the Aztecs and the Spaniards are coming, on one hand. That's one of our basic worries. Or that somehow or other, finally, the second coming's arrived and everything's going to be great. How do we handle this? What is going to happen to us? And I'm going to go into some of these things, of course. When I give my workshop, we'll touch on this, but I'm going to be talking about the signs that would suggest people have had UFO abduction experiences, some of which might be rather subtle. But we will go into all of those issues on a, I hope, personal level. That's tomorrow at noon. But at any rate, we'll talk a little bit about the philosophical meanings of this tomorrow. But I would like to read something here, which I think is extremely touching, and it was written by a young woman who has had a number of experiences. I've been working with her with hypnotic regressions and interviews and so forth. She's a psychotherapist by profession, and she wanted to put down in some kind of clear form what she has learned about herself and the world through her examination of her experiences. And I think this is very, very touching, and it very accurately reflects my feelings. She said, "We of the earth are in possession, due perhaps to our biology, of an innate humanness which is often translated into a deeply spiritual humanism. It's the basis of our moral sense of the feelings of caring, empathy, love, and responsibility we have for one another, for our children, and for the planet. From my experiences with the aliens, I've come to believe that their entire paradigm is radically different from ours, and that our sense of right and wrong, good and bad, does not apply for them. They are very different from us, not only physically, but in their understandings, motives, goals, and purposes. They are separate and work from a set of beliefs or needs that we do not understand. If indeed this is the case, we are fairly on our own here on Earth. The aliens are not going to teach us how to love our fellow humans, how to help our planet. I do not believe that they are the great redeeming power some may wish for, but only beings with a different set of principles. Therefore, we must assume responsibility for ourselves and for each other. It places the burden of care for one another and for the planet squarely with each one of us. For what can we gain from them if not the understanding of our own nature as a species, using them for comparison? My curiosity about them is unbounded, as is my grief, confusion, and fear. But what I have found, what I return to each day, be it coping mechanism or epiphany, is that I want to immerse myself in my humanity, in my humanism, in my caring for other humans, for life on our planet, and for the Earth itself." Now, I find that really the basic lesson, if we're lucky, that the involvement with another intelligence of a much greater, much more advanced technology and so on. But this is what's going to be the end result of this interaction, if we're lucky. It's all up to each one of us. I do not trust predictions about the future. There have been too many that have not happened. We don't know really what's going to happen, whether it's the government telling us or the aliens. As I say, they both lie. But at any rate, we are facing the greatest adventure that mankind has ever faced. And what Robert Dean was saying, I absolutely, completely accept the idea that our future is now going to change, because this is the most momentous event in all of human history, the coming clear contact. And I have to say about the government cover-up, which has done such terrible, terrible harm to society, it's coming so completely unglued and unstuck that I cannot imagine that they can hold it together much longer. To say one thing about the cover-up and its terribly negative effect on people, the government's officially saying UFOs don't exist. So anybody who sees one is probably either lying or very confused. But worst, if you claim you've had some kind of an abduction experience, then you're really a hoaxer or really mentally ill, because these experiences officially, according to the government, cannot happen. Now,
just turning the deal over here. That was Bud Hopkins before this last speaker. He was pretty amazing, pretty famous now, did a lot of implant stuff. So anyway, we're going to continue on here. It's just going to go back to the beginning, which some of you haven't heard yet. Some of you heard some of the other stuff. I want to get this well documented.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad you found it to this out-of-the-way corner of the world. It's quite a walk from the other center, isn't it? Is my volunteer here in the room? Where's my volunteer? Hi. Is the room volunteer here? Could we have some water and some cups up here, because this is going to be a pretty hot and heavy next couple of hours, and I'm sure that we're going to need some water. Right. Hello, welcome. My name is Tricia McCannon, and welcome to the Seattle Whole Life Expo, the UFO panel. Hi, Colin. I see a lot of familiar faces out there, including some UFO colleagues, so I'm really glad that all of you could come. Our panel today is going to be a pretty action-packed next hour and a half, or hour and 45 minutes. We have some extraordinary people up here for you, and I'm going to give each of them a chance to talk a little bit about who they are and what they do for about, let's see how many people we have. Fred's going to be on the end, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are we missing anybody? Oh, Robert Dean.
Yeah.
Hopefully Robert Dean will be making it. He's a wonderful fellow. I'm sure you'll enjoy. So if we can all take about 5 or 6 minutes to sort of talk about ourselves, then what I'd like to do is perhaps open it up for questions. Where's the room monitors? If you guys can sort of cut up some paper back there in the back and pass them out. If you don't already have notebooks, we're going to do questions, written questions this time. So once we've all spoken, we'll wind up passing them down to the far ends, or you can raise your hand and the room monitors can come get them, and then we'll sort of distribute them. If you have a question for a specific person, great, or if it's a general question, we'll sort of pass it around and, you know, tear at it with our teeth. The theme for this particular UFO panel is UFOs in the coming millennium, and one of the reasons that we chose that theme is because we're in the 1990s, and the year 2000 is close approaching. I know a lot of you are probably here because you have a lot of interest in the UFO subject, and perhaps you've seen something on television or in your own skies, and you'd like to know a little more about it. So I'd like to know how many of you in here have actually seen a UFO. Wow, that's great. That's a lot of people. How many of you have seen them here in Washington? Wow. Around Seattle? Near Seattle? Near Mount Rainier? Has anyone been to Shasta, Mount Shasta? Any other mountain sites where you've seen them? Good. How many of you feel that you may have had some sort of more personal experience, either physical experience or dream state experience with extraterrestrial contact? Wow. Pretty good group. Well, we certainly have some people up here who've been involved, including myself, in exploring what all that is about. And as you'll see, we all come from slightly different perspectives. Let me sort of introduce our panel. Oh, Bob, good, you came. We have Fred Bell, who just came in on my far right. Fred is an Andromedian contact. He lives in Southern California. He's been speaking on new technologies, alien technologies, for a long time. Very interesting person, and someone I know that you'll enjoy. Vance Davis is one of the famous Gulf Breeze 6. Gulf Breeze 6 that you may have heard of on television. He was one of the intelligence military officers who received information on the Ouija board many years ago that told about the coming changes in Earth prophecies and the things that are going to happen soon. And he's one of, I think, two that are out speaking. Bud Hopkins is a very noted and well-known icon in the UFO research field. He really pioneered the abduction phenomena. and hypnotherapy and legitimized it to a large degree. Really, the last 15 years, his work has just changed the face of how people view what has been going on with one-to-one encounters through hypnosis and so forth. He's the author of Missing Time and Intruders, and he's one of my personal favorites up here. I think you'll enjoy Bud a great deal. Brian O'Leary, Dr. Brian O'Leary, is a physicist. He worked for NASA, and he is really on the leading edge of bringing the new technology of free energy to the public. He's traveled internationally and is in the process of completing his 8th book? 10th, but who's counting? And he's going to tell you a little bit about that today. Sean David Morton is definitely our most spectacular personality. Sean's great. I mean, he's been involved in television. He's been a consultant to sightings. The last I heard, he thought he was going to be getting his own TV show. Yes, this is very good. And he's a psychic, and he has a book out called Millennium. In the Delphi Associates newsletter. So you'll enjoy him. I always tease him. Last year I told him he was the bad boy of UFOs. So it's like the motorcycle and the black leather jacket. Dr. Richard Boylan, yes, is the author of 2 books. I have not read either one of them, but they both have to do with the abduction phenomena. And his take is a little different from Bud's. He seems to be looking at cases that he interprets as more positive. So he's going to be a fresh voice. This is the first time we've had the opportunity to have him on this panel. Dr. Joseph Burke is a member of CSETI, the Center for the Studies of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is located out of North Carolina and was started by a man named Dr. Stephen Greer. And since Dr. Greer can't clone himself, Dr. Burke is the closest thing to it. They look similar, they sound similar, and they cover twice the territory. CSETI is a group that was created primarily to teach humans to do control thought sequencing and actually bringing in spaceships consciously and trying to do telepathic communication with the occupants of the ships. So he has a very unusual perspective. And one of my personal favorites is Robert Dean. Bob Dean is an ex-military officer who served in the NATO headquarters of SHAPE, which is the supreme headquarters of the Allied forces in Europe. Yes. And for many years, well, actually about 3 years or 4 years, he had access to documents that showed that the U.S. military knew at least 20 years ago of 4 different groups of extraterrestrial beings. Myself, I'll tell you a little bit about me. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I come all this way. I'm the only person, I think, from the South who comes out and speaks, but believe me, there are a lot of conscious people down there. Shocking, but true. You have to look really hard, but they're sort of like, you know, closet consciousness. I started the UFO Forum, which is a nonprofit group, about 6 years ago in Atlanta. And I've been traveling and speaking internationally for the last 3 years, and I'm just finishing my first books. So some of these guys are a little in advance of me. I speak a lot about UFOs and the multidimensional aspects of it and the ancient civilization aspects tying in what's happening in current day and the millennium changes to what has happened in the past cycles of the planet. I'm also a clairvoyant, and unlike Sean, who sees more of the future, I only get about 20% future. I see the past, and so I, you know, go back, you know, 5 and 10 and 20 and 50,000 years looking at the time track. So I tend to look at things from the point of view of longer cycles. So what I'd like to do first is ask, Bob, would you like to start? Bob Dean.
Thank you, Trish. I'll try to be brief so I can give a lot of my peers up here some opportunity to talk. I am known as a long-winded old scoundrel. Once I get started on this subject, because this to me is the most important issue of our time, I've concluded it's probably...
There you go, Bob. All right.
Okay, is this better? As I was saying, I am convinced that this is indeed not only the most important issue of our time, but very likely the most important issue in the history of the human race. And I have spent 30 years looking at this issue. I began in the military. I precede my comments by telling you that I got into this field through the back door, the side door. I was a professional soldier for most of my adult life. I was interested in the phenomenon, but I was not convinced of anything. I was a curious skeptic. And once I began to look at it, once I had an opportunity to see it and look at the cover-up, look at the lies, look at the material that was available, I concluded that we are indeed dealing with probably the most important issue in the history of the human race. And I don't have time to go into all of the explanations of why I feel that way. And I'm going to try to do a lot better in my workshop this afternoon where I have some time, and plus I have a slideshow I think that would be very interesting to most of you, that I'm sure you've never seen some of these photos ever before. My biggest complaint is simply this. I've gone beyond the UFO issue. That was my beginning. My biggest complaint today, and I want to share this with you before I sit down, is that this particular matter, this cover-up, this issue, this lie, among many, many, many others, but this one is the biggest. The cover-up on this issue, the reality of what we are confronting, the ramifications, the implications of what this means to the human race, your government and mine, and most of the governments on this planet are sitting on top of the greatest secret never told. And I am angry about it. I'm an old soldier. I'm pissed off about it. I am aggravated as hell about the fact that there are bureaucrats, arrogant bureaucrats in Washington and in other parts of our country that are making national policy on this issue that have never been elected, and they are not responsible either to the executive or the legislative branch of our government. And they're making national policy that's affecting the lives of every man, woman, and child in this country. They're making national policy that's affecting the lives of every human being on this planet. They're sitting on top of the greatest story of all time. And it goes far beyond the UFO. The UFO is a triggering mechanism. It goes far beyond the crop circles. The crop circles are a triggering mechanism. It goes far beyond the appearances of this beautiful lady that keeps showing up here, there, and everywhere on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, this issue, once we come to terms with it, once we inform ourselves and educate ourselves, this issue is going to change our world forever. And I frankly must tell you that I figure that that time has indeed come. It's long overdue. Now, you Americans have got to regain your Constitution, or you can just kiss it goodbye, because it is being trashed and flushed down the toilet. And I don't tell you that you're not concerned. I don't threaten you, and I don't insult you. All I will say is that you're uninformed. And inform yourselves. The evidence is there. And people like myself and all of us here at this table have some things to share with you that are important and that are real. But I think that most of my friends here would agree with me that don't walk away from this room today or from this conference believing anything any of us have said, particularly, just because we have said it. Go out there and look for yourselves. The evidence is there. It's overwhelming. Inform yourselves and take your Constitution back before it's too late. And rather than ramble on a little more, I want to say it's a pleasure to see the room so full of bright and curious faces. And God bless all of you. And I'll be talking to you later.
My name is Dr. Joseph Burks. I'm an emergency room physician in Los Angeles, California, and I'm working group coordinator for the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrials, CE5, that's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind initiative. And what the center is doing is we're organizing teams of UFO researchers. Actually, I'm not so much interested in UFOs, but more interested in extraterrestrial spacecraft and extraterrestrial intelligence. and we're organizing teams of citizen diplomat / researchers to go out into the field and do on a real-time basis, in a prospective manner, interact with extraterrestrial spacecraft. We go to selected sites. I've had a series of sightings. I'd like to share one, with a very dramatic one, with you that happened on February 1st, 1993, at 11:45 p.m., when 100 miles outside of Mexico City, at the base of Popocatépetl volcano, I was with a CSETI team. There were five of us, two physicians, PhD psychologists, and we were all studying the UFO phenomena at the base of Popocatépetl volcano when a large triangular craft came into our vicinity. It was moving obliquely from our position, and when we signaled at it with the powerful lights that we employ, it turned and came directly at us. It was accompanied by a small, what we would call perhaps a scout ship that was disc-like in shape. And as the craft approached, we could see clearly it was monumental in size. It virtually eclipsed a ridge as it moved over it, and there was a small church which looked like a matchbox next to this large triangle, at least 300 feet, probably 600 or 700 feet, maybe even 900 feet across. It was at night. And as we signaled, the craft signaled back in an intelligible fashion. Flash to the craft, flash return. Double flash from us. And this is the kind of interactive experiences that CSETI is facilitating. The object did not land, and we were not able to have a boarding, which is the stated goal of our organization. But we were able to, again, establish that these craft are under intelligent control, and the beginnings of an interactive relationship are possible. We believe it's important to step out of the shadows. I agree with the previous speaker. We can't count on the governments to do this. After all, they're involved in national security issues. And the UFOs, because they really probably look at us like one planet with one race of beings, tend to undermine every belief system and every nationalistic concern. So we believe that it's the responsibility of the world's citizens to go out and to engage the extraterrestrials in a peaceful, non-harmful manner. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years now as a coordinator for a Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. We have teams in Los Angeles, in Denver, North Carolina, Phoenix, and there was activities in the Washington area as well. So I invite everyone who's interested not only in seeing UFOs, but in a safe and responsible way interacting with them, to attend my workshop tomorrow night at 6 o'clock or stop by the lecture tomorrow at 1. And I'm sure that, this is really too important to leave to the generals and to the politicians. And the citizens of the world are going to have to take the initiative, because when the people lead, then the leaders will follow. Thank you.
Mr. Boylan?
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Richard Boylan, a clinical psychologist and a researcher in the matter of extraterrestrial contact with human beings. I've, since 1989, been working with over 145 people who've reported extraterrestrial encounters, done some psychological screening, interviews, sometimes hypnotically assisted memory block removal, and integrating the emotional and the factual content of their experiences. I'll be speaking at greater length about this at my workshop at 4 o'clock this afternoon about what I found, both in terms of the extraterrestrials, what encounters are like, what the effect is on people, what the message they bring is, but very much on the effect on human beings, which is perhaps of even more interest to us. And what I have found overwhelmingly is that after initial anxiety or shock or befuddlement, that most people move through relatively rapidly to a sense of privilege, wonder, a sense of having their minds been blown in a beneficial way, and find personal transformation, and as we understand the message that is embedded in the visits from the extraterrestrial coming Earth transformation. Certainly, there are is a huge new climate now that was not even in existence in 1992, merely 2.5 years ago, of openness towards UFO and ET reality information. And this is climaxing very soon in terms of coming out in the open. You've noticed the barrage of media attention. You can't turn on a TV program anymore without a week going by and somebody has their at least amateur videotape of a UFO on a documentary program. On the political front, there are major forces at work to bring things out now. Lawrence Rockefeller has prevailed on President Clinton with his White House initiative to bring this matter out promptly into the open. And the Central Intelligence Agency has been commissioned to help assist this to happen. However, it is not all simplistic. There is what I will label a renegade faction within the covert compartments in military and intelligence that have been managing the cover-up. Some of them who are not willing to assist the cover-up, who want to keep status quo. And so you will see over the days ahead a clash between the forces trying to bring out the information to the public and those who are digging their heels in and trying to maintain the cover-up. However, all the initiative is not on the human side. There is a major initiative from the extraterrestrial side that has 4 points to their game plan that I would share with you. The first is that the pace, the boldness, and the openness of UFO sightings is increasing. I would only cite the Michigan overflies, which last year, which are now repeating, and in Mexico City, Gulf Breeze, and many other places. The second element is the increasing number of close encounter experiencers coming forward and going public with their experiences, so that therapists, researchers, and even media people are becoming aware of scores and hundreds and thousands coming forward. And some of these include delayed reaction cases, people whose experiences are 40 years old but whose memories have just been turned on and are now coming forward. The third element is the number of UFO researchers and experiencers who are feeling a sense of mission to bring this out in the public, and you see many of them before you here today, are increasing and increasing in their boldness of presentation. We've come out of the closet, if you will. And lastly, certain persons in governmental positions are moving to a new posture, permitting the public to become aware of UFO ET reality, as I've already indicated. There will be, on Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C., a conference called When Cosmic Cultures Meet, whose stated purpose, and this will be a gathering of political leaders, scientists, professors, psychologists, journalists, religious leaders, and so forth, from around the world, to deal with the topic of what should be Earth's proper reaction when it comes out in the open that other cultures from other civilizations, other star systems are visiting us. After this conference, which will be televised and covered by the media, it will be extremely difficult for the forces of cover-up to pretend that this subject isn't real and that serious people don't take it seriously any longer. What is coming up? The conference news sheet says we're going to speak to the next millennium, but I want to speak about the next 3 years. Okay. There, just to be succinct, since the clock is running down here, there are 4 events I want to draw your attention to. I've done a little effort at futurism. I'm not much of a psychic, but I try and strain the one cylinder I have. But more to the point, I count on the messages from the extraterrestrials transmitted through the experiencers of contact that I've dealt with, and a few experiencer psychics who have gifts of looking into the future, and some intelligence and ex-intelligence sources that I have some contact with who tell me Langley sees it the same way the experiencers and the ETs do. Such sources, and here's what I see coming up. Between July and October, an increasing crescendo of overflies of major population centers by UFOs. Probably late October, a public world announcement of UFO presence. In 96, probably early 96, an official meeting between Earth representatives and ET representatives during a public UFO landing.
And either the end of 97 or the beginning of 98, the announcement of the establishment of a first official openly declared extraterrestrial community on Earth. Now, when we talk about millennium, and gee, we ought to get ready because somewhere, you know, in the year 2000 and something, something might come out in the open, there's a much more time compression going on. So I advise all of you to keep your eyes and ears open, watch for the little snippets of things that appear in the TV or in the newspaper, and then you don't see it repeated anymore. Those are deliberate leaks. Pay attention to them, and you'll be on top of things as they start coming down.
One second. Thank you, Richard. What he was talking about when cosmic cultures meet is, I was sent some information on this about a month ago by Colonel Don Ware, and the person behind this is Lawrence Rockefeller, who owns a company called the Human Potential Foundation Movement. And, you know, although if you sort of study what's going on with energy, Rockefeller has sort of been a dirty name for a long time. Apparently, well, I mean, bless their little money-making hearts. Lawrence Rockefeller appears to be really working behind the scenes to bring some consciousness to the whole situation. And they are very much aware that it's a, you know, it's a big task and it's a multidimensional phenomena, so they know that the paradigms are going to have to change in our whole worldview in order for us to allow this information in. But I had not heard that this was a confirmed conference. The last I heard, I got the guest roster of who had been invited to speak, and it was like Dr. John Mack, you know, who's a Harvard psychiatrist who wrote Abductions and who's worked with Bud extensively, David Jacobs, Clinton and his wife. I mean, it was pretty, you know, ambitious list. So are you saying that this is confirmed?
Yes.
My. That's great. Well, it's really nice to hear that. Thank you for bringing that information in. Sean David Morton.
This is the end of side one. Tunica set over now to side two to continue.